Welcome back to the EIQ Cast. My name's Ross Levanto, your host, and we're talking today with EIQ Network's product evangelist, John Linkus. John, welcome back.
Thanks, Ross. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us on the podcast today.
Our topic today is a topic that's been talked about pretty much ad nauseum in many IT security circles, and that's HIPAA, the set of regulations related or rules, federal rules, related to close control of content related to individual health records, personal health information, that is rules that are required on health organizations, on hospitals that are passed down by the federal government. The reason why we're bringing it up now, even though this is a topic that many have talked about for many years, is because just last week we saw the first real example of a fine levied against an organization for not following the rules as closely as they should have. And the fine was levied against CVS, related to specific fine related to their improper handling of information that was actually on specific prescription bottles. And John, to start out with, it's been a long time coming where we first saw information or news about an actual fine levied against an organization. And actually, if you look at the history of this particular set of rules related to HIPAA, there's somewhat of an explanation for why it took this long, and I think it might be good to explain to our audience what that explanation is.
Yeah, so when you look at HIPAA as a law, one of the things to keep in mind is that when HIPAA was enacted in 1996, it was really the first comprehensive regulation to address information security and privacy, and that I think threw off quite a number of organizations, in particular because HIPAA didn't just apply to hospitals and healthcare payers. It really applied to any organization, whether it was a school or a university or even a large corporation that might maintain healthcare information on its employees through their own infirmary, for example. And so when HIPAA came out, the federal government said, you know what, we're not going to start enforcing everything all at once. We're going to give these organizations some time to implement the provisions within HIPAA. And so when you look at HIPAA, there's really three types or three sections associated with HIPAA. One is in relation to healthcare records, the actual transaction codes that are associated with the different types of illnesses that are out there. So that when one doctor says a tonsillectomy, he means the exact same thing as another doctor who says tonsillectomy. And so that transaction code set was really the first requirement of HIPAA. And organizations didn't have too much difficulty with that because they really already had systems in place to handle those transaction codes. Where they really started to stumble was when it came to the privacy and the security provisions of HIPAA. And if you look at when those provisions went into place, and when they were the government would actually start auditing, it wasn't until 2003 that all of those provisions for HIPAA fell into place in terms of requiring organizations to meet HIPAA compliance by that date. So in many cases, the main reason we're hearing now so much about HIPAA is simply because the timing was off. Organizations had a long time to comply with the regulation, and it isn't until now that we're starting to really see the reaping of the results of that compliance effort.
Well, this particular fine levied against CVS, reportedly $2.25 million. So that's certainly, there's a lot of security and IT managers across healthcare institutions in across this country that are certainly paying attention now, I would assume.
Almost definitely, and that number is really only going to increase. I think while it's certainly possible that CMS levied that fine as a warning, I'm sure that if the fine was levied, it was earned. But if you look at not only continued HIPAA audits that are increasing in number and frequency, but if you look at, for example, what the president signed into law with the stimulus package that came out the other week. There's a lot of provisions in there that really extend the HIPAA definition of security and, in particular, privacy regulation. And, there's some real teeth to some of those sanctions, up to and including not only the civil penalties that are currently in HIPAA, but actual criminal penalties as well. So that's something that we're going to, that organizations are going to continue to need to look at because these sanctions aren't going away. They're only going to increase.
So if I'm an IT manager, a security manager, at one of these healthcare institutions, what are some simple tips and tricks? Maybe given that maybe I was focused on HIPAA many, many years ago, or maybe I'm thinking about it for the first time, or what the case may be. What are some tips and tricks for those individuals
looking
at what has happened recently?
Well, one of the most important things is to remember that no compliance effort, whether it's trying to comply with HIPAA or PCI DSS or Sarbanes-Oxley, no effort should be strictly a sort of an implementation, sort of a set it and a forget it approach, right? So you look at HIPAA compliance, and really there should be a program in place within your organization. If you've already achieved HIPAA compliance, you should be looking at your controls on a regular basis to ensure that you continue to remain HIPAA compliant. If you're not doing that already, that's certainly something that organizations can do. So ensuring that they've got sort of that programmatic approach to security and privacy compliance, not just to make sure that we comply once or get over the auditor hurdle, but actually making sure that those controls are implemented and being continuously monitored all the time. A second thing that organizations can do is as they revisit HIPAA, if it's sort of, you know, sitting dusty on the shelf, is take a look at the common controls that exist between HIPAA and other regulations, best practices, and standards that the organization has to comply with. Again, looking at PCI DSS, Sarbanes-Oxley, some of the NIST criteria for federal organizations and agencies that might also have to comply with HIPAA. You find that there are a lot of overlapping requirements, whether those are requirements for certain things you have to be monitoring and alerting on, or configurations for your systems to ensure that they're secure and that they maintain the confidentiality and the integrity of data. All of these controls within the security and privacy world, many of them overlap between these regulations. So that's the second thing those organizations can do, again, is really just ensure that they know what those overlapping controls are and see if they can address them in a more holistic manner rather than simply saying, here are my set of HIPAA controls and here are my set of SOX controls. Let's see if we can find a single set of common controls that we can implement, monitor, and maintain that's going to be more cost effective than taking a regulation by regulation approach.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
Thanks. And I was going to say the third thing that organizations can do is make sure that they're really getting all of the data that they need to implement these security and privacy controls. Most organizations look to controls like antivirus software, for example, anti-malware. They look to intrusion detection and prevention systems and event monitoring tools. And those are great things to have. And in many cases, they're really necessary to have to maintain security and achieve compliance. However, it's important to remember that all those little pieces of data working together is going to be more valuable to an organization than looking at them individually. So really the centralization of all of that data across all those different tools and correlating it to those specific controls that are common between the different regulations, best practices, standards that an organization has to comply with is a really good thing to do.
Certainly, it hits on the theme of automation, and automation is a king theme right now just because of the fact that at the same time we're seeing, you know, this particular enforcement of the HIPAA rules, these IT and security managers are also facing pretty tough budget pressures given the economic circumstances. I'm sure that those two initiatives are weighing heavily both in their minds at the same time.
Yeah, it's not good timing from a financial perspective for many organizations to have these kind of audits and sanctions being levied. But the reality is that regardless of what the economy is doing, bad things are still going to happen to data. You're going to have malicious users. You're going to have accidental and intentional threats against your information and your assets. And you've got to be vigilant and protect your systems against those threats. And so, the catch with information security and privacy is, being able to do what you need to do, but do it as efficiently as possible. And that's where certainly things like common controls come into play. But as you point out, Ross, it's also where things like compliance automation come into play, minimizing the amount of time and effort that human beings need to spend on security and privacy, while ensuring that the tools can really do a lot of the grunt work. But at the same time, the human beings have the oversight of that capability.
The fine was $2.25 million. It's a regulation and a set of rules that's been around for a long time, and we'll be watching carefully to see what happens in the coming weeks and months. And there's also more information about the impact of this particular settlement. If you go over to the EIQ Networks blog, Mike Rothman, also of EIQ Networks, has an interesting commentary up there as well. But for now, John, thanks so much for joining us today. And it's always a pleasure to discuss issues of importance to IT security.
Great. Thanks, Ross. Thanks for joining everyone.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. And this has been the EIQ Cast.
This podcast was produced by EIQ Networks, a provider of enterprise security and compliance management solutions. For more information, visit EIQ Networks on the web at www.eiqnetworks.com. EIQ Networks, security and compliance management, redefined.